Let's turn to Psalm 136. I'm not going to read the whole psalm. But it's a psalm of God's mercy. You start off with, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And every verse ends with that phrase, "His mercy endureth forever." So, to whom? To us. Who have put our faith in him and our trust in him and who have been regenerated by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. His mercy will run out for those who continue to reject them up until the time that either they die or that the Lord returns in glory. It ends there. But for us, it endures forever.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And you can read each line. I'm only going to focus on three verses, but not yet. But you see how it talks about how he delivered his people from bondage and from captivity. And it was probably like, you know, what they do a lot in the denominational churches, a responsive reading. The priest would, you know, say something like, "To him that stretched out the earth above the waters," and the congregation would repeat back, "For his mercy endureth forever." And got a little bit too much here. Praise be to God. But what I want to talk about mercy, and I want to talk about grace, but I just sensed this week that God wanted me to share something along the lines of a personal story or two in order to get into this. What?
Sit down?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
I was starting to feel uncomfortable.
You can stand if you want. Praise be to God. Yeah, I know, I usually pray over the word, but, you know, it's a little bit different this week, so bear with me. Praise be to God. You know, I want to share a story that I've shared bits and pieces over the years as to when I got saved, which was years ago back in the Calvary Assembly of God in between Chester and Monroe. I grew up in Blooming Grove, and I remember going to church that night, giving my heart to the Lord, and getting back afterwards, and the pastor, they were just coming out with those red bound soft cover NIV Bibles. It had just come out, and he handed me one of those and said, "Read the Gospel of John," you know, like people often do. And I remember getting into my S10 Chevy pickup truck, which is one of my favorite vehicles. I really miss that thing. And driving up from, you know, the Quick Oil, I was living in Bloomingburg at the time. And driving up the highway and trying to figure out what happened. You know, something had happened to me inside. And I'm driving up the highway. And all of a sudden, it came to me as I was driving up the highway, up the Quick Way. I feel clean for the first time in my life. I feel clean from the inside out.
Amen.
Something has happened that has made me clean. And I got, you know, I was working as a night city editor for the Times Herald Record at the time, and I was used to, you know, working in a pressure cooker. You know, phones ringing off the hook and police monitors going on and on. And I need that story right now. You know, you're over deadline and blah, blah. And just like a pressure cooker, and my first instinct when I got home at night was to reach into the refrigerator for a bottle of Schmitz. And I put on the headphones. Everybody was asleep because we put the paper to bed at midnight. And then I had to do a log, you know, for the next day, follow up on this story, follow up on that, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I used to like to listen to John Mellencamp, you know. And I would listen, and then finally, after 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 Schmitz, I'd go to bed and finally be able to relax and then start all over the next day. So I got home that night, and I started to reach for the refrigerator and said, I don't want a beer. I don't want a Schmitz. And I went for the, I don't want to listen to John Mellencamp. I want to take this book that this pastor gave me after I had gone down the aisle and given my heart to the Lord Jesus, which I didn't know what that meant, and I want to read it and find out what happened here. And I started to read it. I told this part of the story. It was an NIV version of the Bible, and it was doing nothing for me. I was trying to read, you know, John, nothing. And then I spotted a black-covered Bible in a bookshelf that had been sitting there for years. It was a King James version of the Bible. And I opened it up to John, and I started to read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And I just started to read it. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And I started to read it, and it just fed me, and the Lord just showed me this week what was going on. Because I was looking at the words of that King James Bible, the actual written words, but I was seeing something underneath. It was the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And what he showed me and what he told me is that, do you know what you were doing? You were walking on water. That's what I was doing. I was walking on water. The water of the Word.
Amen.
Remember in John 7 where it says, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of what? The Spirit. Which had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. I was walking on water, the water of the Word. And that's when he led me to that upper room in the house where I could just be alone. It was an unfinished room. It didn't have any heat, and I had a little space heater. And I would just get on my knees, and I would lay the book, the Bible, before me. And I would say, Lord, where do you want me to be tonight? And what he do? He would lead me to a certain place. God is so good. He's such a good teacher. In that was not the place where he led me initially, where he wanted me to end up. But he would lead through scripture after scripture. And this one would lead to that, and the reference to that one, and next. And finally, after an hour or two, I would arrive at the place where he wanted me to be. But I had learned so much in between. God was good. Now, I want to talk about that because in those private times with the Lord, God brought me back to a place where I was a child. I was about 10 years old. And my father, in fact, I want to go to a scripture because a lot of people have misunderstood my father. Trying to find it here. I know I jotted it down. It's in Luke. I believe 14. It's the... It's the parable of the pounds, where the master goes away to establish a kingdom and leaves a certain number of pounds in the hands of his disciples. I know I wrote it down here someplace. Where is it? Praise be to God. Luke 19. Luke 19. And if you remember, he leaves these pounds with them to invest while he's away. Luke 19. And he comes back, and the one says, I gave you 10, and I multiplied it, so I invested it in such and such. And he says, I'll give you rulership over 10 cities. Now, obviously, this is talking about the Lord going away to establish the kingdom of God. It's already there, but for our sakes. And he's saying, I'm leaving you. And he says, occupy until I come. Do business until I come. And what is the business? Jesus said it when he was 12. Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And what is his Father's business? Establishing the kingdom of God on earth. And that's what you and I are called to do. And the other one, I multiplied it this much. Okay, you'll be over 5 cities. And then he comes to the one that he gave 1 pound to in verse 20. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin or a handkerchief. For I feared thee because thou art an austere man. That means severe. It means strict. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, reapest that thou didst not sow. And I've always looked at that as a misunderstanding of God, you know, and of Jesus. Yes, he has a set of rules that we're to obey, but he's not strict. He's not austere. He totally misunderstood the nature of God. And a lot of people misunderstood the nature of my Father. Amen. Because he was strict. He was austere. And what God showed me in that upper room one night, as I said, was our family at the family table. Now, my father and my mother were both born in Jersey City. And my father used to come up. He bought a half acre of land from a man named Mr. Itell in Blooming Grove. And, you know, he owned everything, this guy. He owned all the land around there. My father bought a little piece of land from him. And every weekend, he would come up on the train. I had 4 older sisters. I wasn't born yet. And he would carry lumber up and put it on this Studebaker car that we had. He would tie it to the roof. And he would carry it out there to that site. And he was building a house. And it took him years. Every weekend, come up and do a little more. He was a carpenter. He was a cabinet maker. He was also a musician who could play just about any instrument made. He played the trumpet. He played the clarinet. He played the saxophone. He played the guitar. He played the violin. He had a jazz band down in Jersey City. And he started building this house, and it was like Little House on the Prairie, you know? No running water, no indoor plumbing. We had, as I've said, we were kind of elite because we had a 3-seater outhouse instead of a 2. And we had, you know, a well with a hand pump. And my sister and I, or my next oldest sister, we had those 5-gallon, you know, metal cans, yeah, that we used to fill with water and carry up. And in the kitchen, you know, we would have one of those tin pans. And my mother would hang up a curtain for privacy, and we'd bathe in that tin pan. You know, I mean, I grew up very primitive. The first time I ever had a shower was when I was in, you know, school and after gym class. I said, oh my God, this is amazing, you know, a shower. But what happened was that one weekend my father came up and we had the structure of the house, we had the water, we had the outhouse. There were no walls inside. It was just 2x4s and beams. Hadn't been sheetrocked or anything. And it was getting Sunday night, and my mother said, it's getting late. We better get to the train station. And my father said, we're not going back. This is going to be our home from now on. He was very strict. He was very austere. And you said, this is it. Get used to it. But my father was my best friend, you know? I'm sure my mother had a rough time with him. I know my older sisters did. But what the Lord showed me was we'd been there a while and we were sitting at the kitchen table. My father would not allow any talk during dinner. You're here to eat. Eat and get away. And that's it. So when I, you know, married Angela, who's an Italian, and they sit there for course after course and yakety yak, and I'm getting all antsy, you know, I can't stand this. I got to get away from the table, you know. I'm not used to this. We're not allowed to talk. But what God showed me was us sitting there, and my father had built all the cabinets into the walls, and from one cabinet drawer hung a razor strop. Do you know what a razor strop is?
Yeah.
It's not a strap, it's a strop. It's a strip of leather. My father shaved with a straight razor, and you would take that and, you know, sharpen your straight razor on that razor strop. And that thing hung there as a symbol of you don't break the rules of the house, or you're going to get that strop on your behind. My second oldest sister, Edie, was a rebel. She was the one who smoked secretly. And you can always smell smoke on somebody, you know, so you don't get away with that. She broke curfew all the time and everything else. And she was the biggest recipient of that strop on her butt. So I say that because God showed me that in the spirit. And just recently, he reminded me of something else that he showed me in the spirit. In those times alone with him, walking on water, walking on the spirit, underlying the word of God. And what that was, and I just want to put a parenthesis here. There is grace and there is mercy. Grace, we all know that familiar description, definition, God's unmerited favor. It was his unmerited favor towards me that allowed me to walk down that aisle one night, get saved, and enter into this place where I could have an intimate relationship with my Creator and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Mercy is different. Mercy is the withholding of deserved judgment. That's what mercy is. I deserve to be judged. You deserve to be judged.
Amen.
By God. But he chose in his mercy to withhold that judgment. And what he showed me, one night as I was on my knees meditating and praying and reading the word and allowing him to just sweep over my soul, he showed me in the spirit the same scene of my family around that table. But guess what was missing? The strap. The razor strap. It was missing. It was no longer there. And God was saying, do you see what I've done for you? I've withheld. Even the possibility of judgment towards you. There's no possibility that I'm ever going to judge you.
Praise God.
Because you were in Christ, my son, and you received him. And God reminded me of that this week as I was thinking about this message. Praise be to God.
Jesus.
No more strap. No more judgment hanging over your head. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Turn to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. You know, I need to hear this. I need to hear this entering into my ears, because I can condemn myself worse than anybody could ever condemn me. Joshua chapter 5. This is after the Israelites, the second generation under Joshua's leadership, have entered the promised land. They're about to enter into their inheritance, finally. And in verse 9, the Lord says to Joshua, "This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal unto this day." God rolled away, removed the reproach of Egypt. What is Egypt? It's a type of the world, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise be to God. And he called it Gilgal, which means rolled away. But you know, the root, the same root of that word, underlies the word Golgotha. And Golgotha is a place where Jesus rolled away the reproach of Egypt for you and me, didn't he? Praise be to God. He paved the way for it. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Turn back to Psalm 136. These are some of the things that God showed me this week. And I am so grateful that he ever speaks to us, that he ever reveals things to us, that he ever reminds us of things. I keep telling myself, oh, I should keep a journal, you know. All the things I've forgotten over the years, God brings them back when they need to be brought back for a specific purpose. Praise be to God. Psalm 136. Let's look at a couple scriptures here. Verse 16. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. That's where I was. I was in a wilderness when God led me out of it, when he translated me from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son and into the kingdom of light. Praise be to God. You know, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, he compares our walk with the walk of the Israelites through the wilderness all those years until they finally came into their inheritance. And ours is an inheritance that goes far beyond a physical land. Yes. Amen. It has to do with all the promises of God. Hallelujah. We were lost in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, or the pursuit of riches, or the lust of other things that choked the word out of us, until finally God led us out of the wilderness and said, "You're going to cross the Jordan." And what happened? When they crossed that Jordan and those waters closed behind them and they entered the promised land, it was a cutoff, wasn't it?
Yes.
You're never going to go back across that Jordan River.
Amen.
You're never going to go back there. You can try, but you're not going to go back. I'm not going to let you. You're going to stay on this side of the river. Praise be to God. And then in verse 24, "And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever." He's rescued us from our enemies, hasn't he? And the worst enemy is that which is inside of us. You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know? There's no enemy out there that can destroy me. The only enemy is if I allow Satan a place in my life.
Amen.
And allow him to get hold of a piece of me and to drag me off into some direction that I'm not supposed to go in. Psalm 27, just quickly. Psalm 27. verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's where I stand. That's where we are called to stand. The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And any enemy that tries to drag me out of that place of right standing with the Lord needs to be defeated. And God says, I've done it. I've done it. Because my mercy endures forever. I have mercy towards you. I have withheld my hand of judgment and will forever withhold that hand of judgment. And so, you can have victory against all enemies. Praise be to God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And the third verse is 25. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. God supplies all of our need, doesn't he? According to his riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He gives us each day our daily bread.
Yes.
Physically, materially, but spiritually as well. If we'll hearken unto his voice and unto his leading. Praise be to God. You know, the word says that he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain upon the just and the unjust. That provision is open to everybody. Everybody. But thank God he brought us into that place where we could recognize it, receive it, accept it, embrace it, and walk in it day by day. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
He knows what we have need of. And because his mercy endures forever, he will supply that need if we will just accept it by faith and walk in it day by day. Praise be to God. Turn to Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7. A lot of good words here. I think they have to do with mercy, chesed, and all that good stuff.
Yes, indeed.
I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Those same words apply to you and me. Praise be to God. Even more so, because we are under the new covenant, which is a much greater covenant built on much greater promises. And if that was for them, can you imagine? Just multiply that as many times as you can imagine. And it's for us. Praise be to God. You know, I want to close with something that, you know, last week, especially, and in times past, I have said that I believe we're headed for some hard times, you know. I mean, you can see the way the world is going. But I was, again, reminded of something this week about the conditions that will be present when the rapture of the church occurs. You know, a lot of people, you know, you have your Glenn Becks and these other people talking about how bad it's going to get, and there's going to be riots and future, all this stuff, you know, going on when it really hits the fan. But yet, if you read the Word, what does it say about the time just before God removes one and leaves one, takes one from a bed, one from a field, whatever. And I don't have the, I didn't jot down the scripture reference, but you can find it. But what did he say? He said, as it is, as it was in the days of Noah. What was going on? They were marrying, giving in marriage. They were buying, they were selling, they were eating. In other words, life was going on as normal. And then God took them away. As the days of Lot, what was going on? They were buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage, until the Lord came and took them away. I believe that the time of the rapture is going to be a time, he says, you won't expect it. You know? I mean, we might expect it if things were all chaotic around us and everything else, but if things are going on, as in the days of Noah and Lot, just as normal, living. People are going about their business, and all of a sudden, boom, the rapture happens. Praise be to God. So I want that to be a final word of encouragement. I want us to focus on God's grace, His mercy, which withholds judgment from us, and even though the days are evil around us, that I believe God is going to rescue us out of it at a time when we least expect it, when things are going about as normal. And let that be a word of encouragement. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that you show us things in the Spirit. I thank you that we can walk on water, Lord, the water of your Spirit, of the Word that underlies your written Word, Lord God, and that you open our eyes to that world. It's not something mystical or mysterious, but it's just walking in the Spirit and allowing your Word to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Father, give us that encouragement, I pray, Lord. Let each heart be not fearful, Lord God, but knowing that you have us in the palm of your hand. Praise be to God. You keep bringing that scripture back to me, Lord, and that each of our concerns are before you, and that you are present to each and every one of us, every moment of every day. Praise be to God. Only you can do that, Lord. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. Hallelujah.
Pastor?
Yes.
When we first went to Psalm 136, we looked over at the first of your Psalm 135, 13 to 15. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. The Lord will judge his people, and he will defend himself for his compassion upon his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands.
Praise be to God.
We're talking about gold.
Amen.
In the beginning. You know, if we trust in God or the works of men.
Amen. Praise God. There's only one answer.
One correct answer.
You know, you can be, you know, tempted to, well, gee, maybe I ought to buy some gold, you know, store up some silver. It's going to be useless. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Or a can of emeralds ravioli. You know? Yes.
I mentioned to a friend last week something that hit me. Kids came back from Sunday school next door. My daughter, who loves doing little artistic things, she just ran through the door, ran right over to me, dropped it on my lap, the little things, and just took off back with her friends. And she, when we got home, look at this and that. She hung it in a very special place. It was something very special there.
Mm-hmm.
But she came, dropped it on Daddy's lap, and just took off.
Mm-hmm.
We should have that much trust in God with everything we have in our life.
Amen.
Just run and give it to our Father.
Amen.
And just run off and know it's going to be fine.
Amen.
She just had that.
Praise be to God.
We should learn from children.
And know you're going to be blessed in the process. Yes. Praise be to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Put that on.
Just hands are like ice.
Praise God. Indeed.
Amen. Father, for this good word that we can hold on to. I was just thinking, Lord, as Pastor was sharing, how the prophets of old and the fathers of old were looking in to see what would happen to us when Jesus showed up on the scene. And you have given us these exceeding great and precious promises through your grace, because you are merciful and you are loving kindness. And you have made a way for us where there was no way.
Thank you, Jesus.
You have established us, and you have given us the ability to stand on the water and walk on it, as Pastor said. Walk on the water of your word. We stand on your word, and we thank you and we love you with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. We are exceedingly grateful and thankful and having a heart's desire to worship you and praise you. For you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. There is none other than you. You are the King of kings, and you are the Lord of lords, and you are our Father.
Thank you.
And sometimes that just blows me away. It's beyond comprehension in so many ways. But we know that you have no strop. That was a new one for me. And I just thank you, Father, that you have no strop, but you do guide us, and you do correct us, and you do encourage us. But it's all out of your mercy, and your love, and your compassion. And you've been gracious to us, just like you were to Noah. So, Lord, we praise you. I pray, Father, you give us opportunity to share by your Spirit the hope that lies within us to those that are living in this dark and ugly world, that we might share with them the goodness of your kingdom and the riches of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God.